Even so, particularly at Passover, marking the liberation from Egypt, liberation out of bondage, national feeling ran strong among the Jews. Pontius Pilate would go up to Jerusalem every year, taking with him a garrison of soldiers to make sure nothing got out of hand. And Passover came, and Jesus would go at that very time, entering the city to accolades, to a crowd that welcomed him as a new David. And his first act seemed to speak of social revolution. He went into the temple, and in antiquity, temples served as banks, where you could invest money, where money could be changed. And Jesus drove out the money changers. Surely an act of revolutionary violence. And so it was reported to Pontius Pilate. The wealthy Sadducees and the Pharisees were convinced that Jesus' power must be broken, that he must be arrested, and the only way to do this was by alienating the crowd from him. And so a Pharisee approached him and said, "Rabbi, we know that you care only for the truth. Tell us, should we pay our taxes?" And the crowd waited to hear, no, you should not pay your taxes. Throw off Roman rule. But instead, Jesus, always ambiguous, always nuanced, says, "Let me have a coin." And the Pharisee pulls from his purse a coin, and Jesus takes it and looks at it and says, "Whose image is on this coin?" And the Pharisee innocently answers, "Why, Caesar's." And Jesus says, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." He does not give a straight answer. It is for you to decide what belongs to the state and what belongs to you. Should you pay your taxes? That is your business. Should you give your child over to the state for education? That is for you to decide. But the more subtle point, not lost upon the Pharisee, was that the Pharisee had in his pocket, in his purse, a coin with Caesar's image. He was himself, this most pious of Jews, violating the commandment against graven images. Why? Because that coin trafficked at a slightly higher rate than the coinage of Judea without the portrait of Caesar. And as Jesus would say of the Pharisees, "You are whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside and you stink and are corrupt within. You are nothing but hypocrites." But that answer, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's," was enough to turn away the crowd. Jesus thus finished by alienating almost every member of the community, even ultimately one of his own students, Judas, who would go to the Sanhedrin, to the Jewish court, to the high priest Caiaphas, and give state's evidence against Jesus. And so, Jesus was arrested. And his trial again illuminates the character of Roman rule in Judea and the qualities of local freedom and toleration that was the hallmark of Roman liberty. He is tried first before the Sanhedrin, 71 prominent Jewish citizens, including a number of lawyers, overseen by the chief priest Caiaphas. There he is found guilty of blasphemy. But blasphemy is not a capital offense under Roman law. And by the annexation treaty with Judea, only the Roman governor had the right, the authority, to sentence a man to death. And so Jesus is brought before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, a bureaucrat, a timid man, fearful of the Roman emperor Tiberius, a man paranoid and eager to bring governors back on charges of treason. Pilate knows that they are delivering Jesus up only out of envy. He tries to find a way to save the man, but the Jewish Sanhedrin is resolute. They threaten to go to Tiberius over the head of Pontius Pilate unless he finds the man guilty of treason. For they say that Jesus claims to be King of the Jews. Jesus will not deny the charge or confirm it. Pilate tries one more expedient. He has the right to release one individual each year, one convicted criminal, but the crowd will not have it. And so Jesus is taken and put to death under Roman law, crucified, the punishment for a traitor who is not a Roman citizen. And there, as he is expiring, it will be a Roman centurion supervising the execution detail who will proclaim, truly, this man was the Son of God. It is a Gentile who makes this proclamation. And it is to the world of the Gentiles that the message of Jesus will spread in the gospel and actions of St. Paul. To that we will turn after we step back and compare Jesus with the figure of Socrates.
We hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses on Tape series. Our courses are now available to order online. Visit our website at www.teachco.com, or you can call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-832-2412. Thank you.